Just a couple of days to listen to Moshe Berlov's davening, tefilos, beautifully rendered, nice nusach, excellent nusach. I know Moshe many years. He is a former teacher, past teacher of the Bell School of Jewish Music. He has written several articles for journals of Jewish music. He's a graduate of the Bell School of Jewish Music, and it's a pleasure to have him here at our convention. I call upon Moshe Cantor Chazan, Moshe Berlov. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cantor Beer. It's sort of a nostalgic thing for me to be back here after all these years. I want to apologize because of some serious illness in the family. I was not able to organize in terms of handouts and other presentation technicalities that might otherwise have been appropriate, but I think I have something to say. I have had basically two avenues of experience with the German Jewish synagogue communities. One is in Washington Heights, one is in Cincinnati. Perhaps I should add to that a third layer that although I grew up in Rochester, New York, which did not have a German Orthodox minion since the 1860s as a last holdout from one of the old congregations that had gone Reform. But my mother, may she have a Refuah Shleima, it comes from Frankfurt am Main. And I grew up with stories told by her and Havdil and Chaim, her mother, about how things were in the shul, and even specific minhagim that they still remembered. I grew up hearing from my grandmother, and I don't know if this is accurate or not, but this was her perception, that if a yontif, say Shavuos, would have fallen on Moisei Shabbos, there were lights that would go on only for Shabbos, but there was another set of lights that would be only turned on yontif. And at exactly the second that the choir would begin Matovu and Motzi Shabbos, which begins a Yontif, every light in the shul that had not been on yet would go on. If they had a timer, if they had some heter with a goy, I don't know. But this was pre-war Frankfurt, and they were able to do that, at least in her memory. And I heard from others, when I questioned that at Lechuna Ranana the lights would go on. This was definitely so. Anyway, I would like to caution people not to confuse the minhagim, which are very ably being kept up by Kahal Adas Yeshurun in New York, popularly known as the Breuer Congregation, as being the sum total of, or the necessarily only representation of Western European or German synagogue minhagim. It's clear to me that in Germany, since there were less persecutions, less kahilas that were wholesale, kicked out and they went to other places and then came back and scattered. It happened. It certainly happened a lot in earlier centuries, but I'm talking about in the more recent times, that there was enough stability in most cities to allow a rather consistent minhag, with a feeling of a city minhag, to develop. I think it's very rare that at least looking at the literature, we find specific minhagim tied to specific cities of Eastern Europe. I can think of only two or three that Ramov says in Krakow, the minhag was about Ovidum Malkeinu on Erev Yom Kippur as we follow today, depending on whether it's Friday. I've seen in Minhag Prague that they say Avarachamim and Shabbos Borchim Av and one or two other things. But in general, I haven't seen in the literature, nor have I heard too many zichronos from people to say this was specifically a minhag of a particular city in the East. Whereas in Germany, it's recorded and it was observed with some variation till the end, that this is the minhag of Frankfurt, that's the minhag of something else. Frankfurt belonged to the area of South Germany or Southwest Germany, where minhagim would be similar in surrounding cities, but not identical. Since Breuer's has preserved the whole tzivyon, the whole aura of a German congregation, perhaps more faithfully than any other congregation today, certainly to my knowledge. Therefore, it can be, usually is, taken as a prototype, but we must have a caveat that there are some in Hagen that were different. There's some beautiful German in Hagen that simply are not practiced there and perhaps were never practiced in Frankfurt. In Breuers, I am a member to this day. I sang in the choir for many years. In Cincinnati, where I live, unfortunately, the German congregation is now virtually defunct, but I was kind of associate and acting rabbi there for and two periods of time for years, as well as being chazan. And in fact, to this day, it reminds me of the Cheshire Cat in Alice in Wonderland, where the smile outlived the cat. You know, typically when a shul goes under, weekdays go first, and Shabbos goes, and Yom Noroim is the last thing to continue. Although our German congregation in Cincinnati is defunct for 4 or 5 years, we still maintain a minyan 6 mornings a week at a different location, unofficially, where the minhagim of that congregation are continued virtually without change. And they are also mainly South German minhagim. There's also a Sefer minhagim that New Hope preserved. That's the name of the Cincinnati congregation for as many years as the congregation could exist, but the demography, including neighborhood change, precluded it. In discussing the German congregation, we have to distinguish approximately 3 different areas. One area would be what you can call the decor or general atmosphere. Second area would be the matters of Nusach and Minhag that relate to text. The third area would be the musical rendition of the service. I'm going to see how much time allows me to deal with these areas. In terms of the general atmosphere and decor, one of the things that hit me when I came to Washington Heights, first to another congregation that was also quite large in its time, but because of that particular neighborhood, it was gone already many, many years ago. It merged. For those who know Washington Heights, I'm thinking of Ahavas Torah, which had merged with earlier with the Tikva Chadasha, and then later merged with Sharia Tikva, which still stands. What hit me there in the old Ahavas Torah is that the weekday services were all held in the main shul. There was no auxiliary shul, no Beis Medrash, no weekday shul. And in Breuers, even more so, that the shul is in shul every day of the year. And if one wants to say that there's a certain cheapening of time, it could be argued that when one goes to a main shul for Shabbos and Yom Tov only, it's more special. That is not so at all, because in ways that I will partially describe, the shuls were done up on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, so it's very clear when you come there on these special occasions that it's not a Vochadika atmosphere. However, again, this is a caveat. I've checked records, and there were shuls in Germany that did have weekday shuls. And one of these photographic essay books of the synagogues of Germany or something, there was a special picture of a very beautifully done weekday shul in, I think it was, Hamburg. Okay, so this was not a universal German minhag. However, Rav Breuer, Yosef Breuer Zatzal, I'm told, made a very big point of not allowing a weekday shul in order not to strengthen the misconception that tefillah b'tzibur is only required on Shabbos and Yom Tov unless you have to say Kaddish or similar things. And it took some years, but this paid off. That's kind of horror. The weekday services are relatively full. And I may add a word of Musa. If any of us have the chance in positions where we are, wherever one can encourage a service where it is questionable where to daven in the main shul, my own personal opinion is it should be in the main shul. I was in a Yom Noroim, a non-German shul, twice, 9 years apart. I happened to daven there for Yom Noroim. The atmosphere there was that other than Shabbos morning, the minyan was very, very small, and it wasn't a small shul, even Friday and Saturday nights. Came Rosh Hashanah. The first night was in the big shul. The second night, there was a new rabbi. He assumed it would be in the big shul again. He was waiting at his seat in the big shul, and nobody came in. And the Baal HaBatim informed him, our minag is on the subsequent nights of Rosh Hashanah, we daven in the small shul. People were in the halls or squeezed in the back aisles on the second night of Rosh Hashanah in the small shul. There was not enough room for them. I said, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You wait and see. 9 years later, I was there, and believe me, there was lots of seats for the people in the small shul in the second night of Rosh Hashanah. But in Breuer's shul, it's all in the main shul. Second point. There is, I think, much more emphasis on, as we imagine, Yekis having corn respect for Kedushas Beis Knesses. I once read in some article about Sephardic shuls that Sephardim have a very strict idea of appropriate behavior in a Beis Knesses, and that could be said in Germany as well, as opposed to what we see from the shuls that trace the minhag to Eastern Europe. It may not have been so true in Europe itself. I don't know. However, what I will also say is that the German congregations do not have a military or churchy atmosphere. They said that nobody ever talks, everybody comes on time. That's absolutely false. And I asked older German Jews, even in Germany, there was a certain amount of quiet conversation that was tolerated, especially when the services were long. Coming late to shul was completely accepted in the German congregations as long as you didn't have a paid position there. That's the only time when you had to come on time. In fact, but that wasn't done either. I spoke to the son of the last Rav in Frankfurt, and he said that there were times when the Rav did not necessarily come on time. There was certainly in the Orthodox congregations no marching in of clergy. It would at 1 minute to the hour or whatever. The other thing about the Kor is that the Kedushas Hayom can be ascertained in those German congregations that follow their rich tradition fully. It can be ascertained just by walking in. This is what I meant before. Vachadik is Vachadik, Shabbos Dik is Shabbos Dik, and Yontif Dik is Yontif Dik. The Paroches, which normally will have all the matching covers and whatever kinds of stenders, bimas, amudim, are in that particular shul. And of course, the architecture is proper, that the bima is elevated and centered. However, a bima is not, as in the Ashkenazic tradition, is not a place where the chazan is supposed to daven for the amud. Bima makim krosichu Hashem. The amud is not, it's not depressed, as it was some places in the east, but it's at floor level at the front. Rav Schwab Zitzal was very opposed al pi minag. He said not al pi din, al pi minag, even allowing the bima to be used for the chazan on times when there was a large crowd, say Yom Noroim. Although many shuls, not German shuls, I saw one German shul that did do that in Yom Noroim. Rav Moshe mentions where he came from, many places in Europe did also do that. But in Breuer's congregation, and many other places in Germany, or most, the bima was never used as a substitute for the amud. A fixture in a German congregation since the time of the emancipation, at least, was a rabbi's stender, on top and front, which most shuls today have. But if you go back to Hamish shuls from Eastern Europe, I don't know that that was a fixture, just as it's not a fixture in Stieblach, because there was no concept of a regular sermon. If there would be a drosha, the Rav could come to the bima or pull up some type of a stender to a convenient place, turn it around, but the rabbi's podium, or properly the word is, I believe, lectern, was a feature of the German congregations at least since the middle of the 1800s. The paroches, depending on how many parochesin were donated. I've heard of American shuls where they don't even allow somebody to donate a paroches. They could pay for it, but not as much as it costs, but a larger amount, that the shul can make money, and the shul decides when they want a paroches. But in the German congregations, people donate. They donate, they put on whatever they want, in terms of memory of and so on. And the character of the paroches depends on, again, Kedushas Hayom. Embroiders they have at any one time, maybe two or three plain ones that I rotated week by week for the weekdays. The Shamus has to change to a Shabbos one. And last count, there were maybe four that were rotated, all different colors, with all matching covers, for, again, for all the Amudim, Shabbos by Shabbos. And then at some point, somebody donated one for Shabbos Mevorchim, which is very beautiful. There's a special one in Broyers for minor occasions, such as Chol HaMoed and Rosh Chodesh. Originally, it was done for Hanukkah as well, till someone gave a very nice one for Hanukkah, Neis Gadol HaYasham, I think, Nor, or whatever appropriate for that day. Needless to say, Shalosh HaGolim gets its own paroches. An interesting difference of minhag in the German congregations is that Sukkos, not less than the other regalim, has a colored paroches. If you look, I think, in the Ramah, the white is only mentioned in reference to Yom Kippur. The German minhag is that it is for the entire Aser Semei Teshuva, but then there's two ways of doing it. Some German congregations, not Breuers, have a system with two sets of ropes and whatever apparatus you need, so that they have a white paroches hiding behind a colored one. And that white one is exposed for Hoshana Rabbah, and then exposed once more for Musaf, for Geshem, and as well as Tal. I remember vividly my first Sukkos in a German congregation. I was age 8, 1959, how the president who sat up front closed the green one over the white one right after Kaddish Tiskabel. It still is a corn for me. At age 8, and apparently after Tashkas Kabel, the basic Musaf was considered finished, and the white parochas was over. Found even in the Lubavitcher Shul, where the parochas was changed to white just before Musaf for Tal, which I found also interesting. Breuers doesn't do it that way. Breuers has a white parochas, for, again, for Hoshana Rabbah. Tal and Geshem are not recognized in Frankfurt by the color white. Another thing, just the kind of thing which could be done, in Breuers it's done now because people donated it, the type of mentality which would generate this, not that there's a minhag that requires it. I remember going back to Breuers around the Yom Noroim time, having not been there for many years, and I noted that whereas Rosh Hashanah was a pure, beautiful, white, new, fairly new paroiches, with Avida Malkeinu, I think Kababach and Wotzen Spiloseinu, and a little picture, and people had machzer covers, actually, of their own, with a miniature of that picture of the paroiches. Came Tzom Gedalia, that paroiches wasn't there anymore. Instead was an older white one that was a little bit gray, was a little bit yellowish, off color. It's voch, yes? It's still a serious picture, but it's voch. Voch, you don't want to hang a beautiful white paroiches. You use the old one. In fact, Tzom Gedalia, I remember, although all the Sifrei Torah were white, and by the way, in Breuers Minhag, the first row of Sifrei Torah, there's a couple of rows, the first row matches the paroches color, at least Shabbos and Yom Tov, but Yom Naron, they were all white. However, Tzom Gedalia, being a fast, where we're sad, the Torah they took out was black. And in the afternoon, they put it back already in white. Shabbos Shuvah, they changed it to the white one, the nice white one, like in Rosh Hashanah. I was actually there two periods. Both times it was Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. So there was one day between Shabbos Shuvah and Yom Kippur, right? Only Sunday. Sunday was Erev Yom Kippur. The first time that I was there, on Sunday morning, Erev Yom Kippur, the white, good white one had been taken off, and the Vachadika, yellowed and grayed one, was put on. Erev Yom Kippur may be a yontif for certain respects. In the dorm they talk about, but it's still basically Vach. And by Mincha Erev Yom Kippur, the good one was on. The second time, many years later, I saw the good one was still on Sunday morning, Erev Yom Kippur. I thought maybe it's Aridas HaDoiris, they don't want to bother to change. But then, in the meantime, they had donated for Yom Kippur itself a almost pure white one, which has on it, it's the Zecher, the Kedoshim, who died in the Yom Kippur War. So these little things. Breuers maintains a minhag, which I've researched, that parts of it I bring brought down in sources, that on weekdays, any Sefer Torah one removes from Aron HaKodesh is bereft of any decorations, except for a yad, on Rosh Chodesh, Chol HaMoed, if it's taken out, and only the ones taken out have a breastplate. On Shabbos, all of the Sifrei Torah have rimonim. You know, the two, some people call them crowns, are actually rimonim. If it's a Shabbos with two Sfarim, that's, you know, one Madrega higher, then the Sefer Rishon only gets a Keser, not the second Sefer. But on Yom Tov, the entire front row has Ksorim. And it comes out that in the Arba Parshios, they use a different Keser each of the four Shabbosim, just to take one of the Yom Tov to Ksorim, so it was interesting to see which, and then they all appear on Yom Tov. And Shavuos, the minhag of flowers, is very, very done in a very big way. On all four corners of the bima, there are wreaths, there are garlands, some artificial, some real. And as we know, there's a halachic question that the Vilna Gaon brought up about trees on Shavuos, right, because of the minhag of goyim. I never understood that minhag till I came to the German congregations or to Breuer specifically. There has been some discussion, I think, in recent halacha bulletins. Can flowers, can grass be put in the shul in Shavuos, even according to the Vilna Gaon's minhag, or is the isser of trees actually all-inclusive? In any case, Breuer doesn't have this hakpada of the Vilna Gaon, and there are actual bushes in some kind of a stand, I think, with earth, that are placed in certain places of the shul on Shavuos. I remember being there 1 year, and I had the mitzvah of being part of a crew. About four of us, crew of four, took about 4 hours, maybe from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., to erase any slightest zecher of Yom Tov. So that when one would come to shul Yisru Chag on Shavuos, it's a Vacha de Kiparoiches, presumably even on a Friday, I wasn't there this year, Vacha de Kiparoiches, not a trace of flowers, not a trace of anything which would indicate that it had been Yom Tov, because that's Kedushas Hayom. I want to go into now the service itself. First of all, the Minhag in Germany, still preserved in Breuer's, was that the Chazan wears some kind of a big cap. Generally, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, it would be a cousin of what people imagine as a chazan's cap, more in line with what they wear in Sheirith Israel, if you know that Western tradition, or in the formal shuls of England, if they still preserve that minhag. But some kind of a chazan's yarmulke is worn on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Robes were common, even in the Orthodox shuls. Samson Fol Hirsch wore a robe. The Rabbonim, Chazonim, who succeeded him in Frankfurt, wore a robe till 1935, approximately. I know this from the son of the last Rav in Frankfurt, where he, being a Hungarian, being a Haredi, felt that robes were wrong, and he forbade Chazan Pesachovich to the Chazan Rishon from wearing the robe, and the son still has recollections of his father sitting at the phone early, or rather late, on Friday before Shabbos, and getting a last-minute call from the Rosh HaKol. It's a special Shabbos. The Chazan Rishon is going to daven. Couldn't he wear his robes, as it's always been done? He says, no, I'm the Rav. He quoted one of the psukim about 6 years you shall collect your fruits of your labors and work the ground, but the seventh is Shabbos to Hashem. I'm here 6 years, said the Rav. I'm starting my seventh year. Now I cash in. No more robes. But the Chazan's caps, those were continued and are continued. In the Vach, any person, the congregation, any layman who was serving as Shaliach Tzibur would also, and still is in Breuer's, be presented with some kind of like the old Litvisha cap. So this way, Atifas HaRosh could be done without wearing a hat, street hat if you're at the Omud, and without putting a talus over the head. In Germany, talus over the head was generally frowned upon, except for somebody who had status as a Rav or a Dayan. The present minhag in Breuer's is that only people who have an official status as Reverend Dayan are officially allowed to put a talus over their head. What the rest do, I mean, they now don't enforce it, but otherwise the minhag is they're makbid on hats, so you put a hat on even with your tefillin. And on Shabbos and in the Regalim, even the Rabbonim wear hats, do not put the talus over their head. Yom Noroim, they do. Yom Noroim, by the way, kittels are de rigueur. Every married man who's been married a year, unless he's an ovel, wears a kittel and a white cap of some sort to match it. Let's go over the service time left over, beginning with weekdays. Mincha and Maariv. In the German congregations, there are two alternate ways of davening Mincha and Maariv. One is called Maariv Bismano, and one is not Bismano. So people think, you know, that it's a matter of if you say Maariv Bisman at night or you say it earlier. Actually, the minhag developed in Ashkenazic Europe that because of Tircha de Tzibura, when the Balabatim did not want to come back a second time for Maariv or wait until it's late, Maariv would follow Mincha immediately without even Oleinu in between, because Oleinu is really tefillah for when you leave shul. There's no Oleinu, Memela, there's no Kaddish Yosem. How do we handle the Kaddish Yosem in shuls like that? In Cincinnati, if there was a Chiyuv, we would, only for your site, we would learn a halacha before Mincha, and they would do a Kaddish Drabonim that would serve that purpose. And Breuer's shul, if they have such a minyan, which they do in the summer as an early minyan, that it's not a consideration. They just don't have the Kaddish. Kaddish is not the be-all of Nihugei Avelus and Yortzeit to German Jews. So then there would be Mincha, Kaddish Tiskabel, which is, by the way, the minhag there, Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, and you go right into Vuhurachum on a weekday for Maariv. And after Maariv, it's only Leinu, Kaddish Yosem, and that's it. But there's an alternative minhag in Germany where Maariv was davened after the Zman, independently of Mincha. In Breuer's, in the regular minyan now, they do this as a rule. During the week, they do have a shir between Mincha and Maariv. Wait till Tzeis HaKochovim, approximately the time of Moitzi Shabbos. And Maariv Zmano is a different sivyon, has a totally different atmosphere. You have before Maariv, you have Shir HaMalos, similar to Nusach Sfard. The Germans say it if it's nighttime. So they don't say all the psukim. They end at the Melchinim Yom Kareinu, Chatzi Kaddish, and then Vuhurachum. So that minhag that the Hasidim have, the Hasidic Sfard, is not only from Hasidim, it goes back a long time. Why only if it's Bismano? Ha'omdim Beis Hashem Balelos. How could you say Balelos if it's not? Birnbaum, by the way, reflects that dual minhag, interestingly enough. And then, for reasons that are unknown to me, if Maariv is Bismano, there are several Kapitach Tilim that they say, including David Mizmor, Lashem Oretz, Mizmor David, and another one that are said after Maariv. The Breuer's minhag is to preserve the old minhag that only one person officially says Kaddish at a time, stands up next to the Chazan's Amud. Therefore, in order to allow a maximum of people to say Kaddish, they will break for Kaddishim after these Kapitlach as much as needed to afford the various Chiyuvim to say Kaddish. If there's not enough Chiyuvim, so they say any or all these Kapitlach Tehillim together, or even with Aleinu, to not have extra Kaddishim. I might as well combine the musical part of Maariv at the same time. Maariv is done, the German congregations, in a major key. I can illustrate it. Those who are very musically astute might notice the Shem ends on the fourth, the same as in the Frankish mode of the Eastern European Maariv. That's why I think there might have been a common historical origin that this was preserved. Some people think that the emphasis on the major key in the Western congregations was because German Jews are happier, they don't have to cry all the time. I think that's based on a rather faulty and superficial understanding of minor being sad, major being happy. It probably had more to do with the underlying musical milieu, whereas the German communities in Western emphasize the major key in the folk music, in the East, the Slavic and similar folk tunes tend to emphasize the minor mode. If you look at the folk music of those cultures, it's borne out. The Kaddish, as you've heard many times, for weekdays, as well as the Yosem's Kaddish whenever, also is major, except for the very end. But the end is where does that come from? Well, I don't think so. It could be. I think it's the Torah trope where in the German rendition, the whole major, so far, Leah, da 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 da, da 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 da. We Eastern European Jews, or I'm both, since which side, have that Damiran Ba'alma where? Damiran Ba'alma, Vimu'amein. Shir Shabbos and Yontov Musaf, where the Nusach is recited properly as opposed to the so called Young Israel Kaddish there. So that's the all you have to know about the music for Maariv, although Breuers maintains a minhag that on days in which there's no tachanun, and there's a yeshomrim that includes Motzi Shabbos, they do a more elaborate baruch hu. Baruch hu, instead of Es Hashem Baruch, Es Hashem, something baruch hu, Es Hashem HaMevaruch. Another interesting thing that they have is that if there's going to be a special insertion in Shmona Esrei to kind of cue the Olam in, the Chatzi Kaddish before Shmona Esrei is, instead of Dami Rambi Alma Vimu Amen, Dami Rambi Alma Vimu Amen. There are many little cues and changes for minor occasions in those German congregations that preserve faithfully a local tradition. How much the Balei Tefillah always follow them, that depends. But the minhag in Germany was, I believe, the same as the Vilna Gaon's minhag, that an ovel does not daven any time in which there's no tachanun said. them who know the minhagim and the schools well will be at the Talmud for more times than they would be in other places to sort of establish a standard. Like the whole Nissan long, you don't hear an ovel. Yes, you'll hear a yortzeit, but not an ovel. Going on to Shacharis, the chazan begins Adon Olam the whole year long, and the minhag that we know of Yom Naroim of Adon Olam should not be, or should be seen maybe as a sarid, as a leftover from that general minhag. Yigdal is not said, at least in western Germany, they go right into Alantil Sedai. Masher Yotzar said with a nigun, at least the last part of Esher Yotzar. German Jew has a Esher Yotzar nigun for the Voch, for the Shabbos, different for Yom Naroim. It's all part of it. And then the Birchos HaTorah are skipped over at that point, right to Elokai. Then comes Birchos HaShachar. What is a musical tradition? It seems to be a type of thing where it's mostly major, but the end, again, the cadence is in minor. I don't know that Breuer distinguishes between Voch and Shabbos, but this book, Shoyerman, that I have does, and in New Hope in Cincinnati, the senior Bali Tfila did distinguish it. On weekdays, it sounds like it's major, but at the end, or something like that, it really ends in minor. Is that pentatonic? But whereas on Shabbos, it's the same idea, but I think you tell me what mode it is, but more elaborate. On Shabbos, that whole section is done in the way that still remains with some with Kulam Ahuvim. Those who know what I'm talking about, Kulam Ahuvim, will relate to it. Kulam Ahuvim, da 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 to the minor at the end. So, that's the section for the Birchas HaShachar. Psukim are done with the trop, to the extent that the Chazan does them out loud. The Hirotzon, I think, is probably really done that way in the tradition, but the senior Chazon and Breuer go in already to a regular learning mode because of the Mekoman and the Hirotzon, and the way it would be done in the minor key in the Eastern European shuls. That may just be the idiosyncrasy of those Chazonim as opposed to the real minhag. Baruch Sheomar is recited out loud entirely. There are stories of Kabbalistic rabbis at the time of the Maharil who emphasized Baruch Sheomar in terms of the Chazonis because of the Kavona involved. I should say this too. We know that the original minhag, as Sfardim still practice it, that the Chazan recites almost everything out loud, and then Ashkenazim curtailed that except for usually the end of the paragraph. In the German congregations, it's somewhere in between. Certain sections are still said completely out loud, such as Baruch Sheomar, such as the section from Ramos Kael Begronom through the end of the paragraph, Baruch Hashem La'olam, Amen V'Amen. The Chazan still says out loud. When I've heard some Sephardic traditions and compared it with the weekday Psuki de Zimra and Breuer's in the German tradition, it sounded to me very, very similar, interestingly enough. The Psuki de Zimra for weekdays is minor, but it's not the same nusach as the I think the Eastern European Psuki de Zimra is almost a Lernensteiger, almost a learning type of thing. But in the German thing, it's in a different range. The tonic plays a different role. Goes below the tonic as much as above, and it sounds something like this. Baruch Shomar, Boyalam Baruchu, Bukhosevi Reishis, Bukhome, da 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 da. That continues to Vayosha. Vayosha and Oz Yoshir are done with the trop. Only certain psukim of Oz Yoshir are done loud. They're done with the trop. Kila Hashem Hamlucha goes to a major, straight major key. This carries on Shabbos too, by the way. Continues in the major key because it leads to the Birchos Kriyas Shema for Shacharis, which has exactly the same major nusach as I illustrated before for Maariv. Shmona Esrei Chazoras Hashatz is pentatonic. And it could be a whole lecture as what happened to that treatment of Chazoras pentatonic when I daven for the Obed, now as an Obel. Lo Aleinu, people say I'm davening German, because the real nusach of most of Eastern Europe, the Litvak for sure, was virtually the same thing with some minor differences, only you don't hear it today by younger people because the yeshivas have sort of taken that nusach and they have distorted first, I think, by a quarter tone or something, that is certain one of the tones that you hear wrong, and then they misconstrue where the tonic is, which leads to Hamborech Shmo Yisrael Bashalom being done wrong in the tune you hear today in most yeshivas and many shuls. But all of us who know the old nusach that we brought up Eastern Europe for the Chazon Shatz was right. So on. This is the German nusach as well, but there are some elaborations. What is it called? An accidental. Right. There also is an alternate way of ending brachos. Right? You're right? Some German Bali Tfili don't hear it much anymore. It's not standard. As it's ending. But again, that's pure pentatonic. The striking thing is, though, in the German Nusach, Shomea Tefillah is done on the high tonic. Shomea Tefillah. Why? Because there are halachic things that which distinguish Shomea Tefillah from the other Siyumei Brocha. For example, if you're like parts of the Brochas of Kriyas Shema, we're not normally allowed to be mafsik to answer Amen. That Amen you do answer. So that cues the congregation into that. Marzishkana Solut Sion. That's also the high tonic because to cue people to answer modim. Hamvarech is Hamo Yisrael Bashalom. Today I didn't know we're going to say Tachanun or not. The minhag doesn't mean anything here anyway, but the German minhag is if there's no Tachanun, then not only is Hamvarech Hamo Yisrael Bashalom done in the high tonic, that of course excludes halal days when it's done in the standard minyono, which we all know about. But other than that, it's done the high tonic if there's no tachanun. And there's something, at least in Frankfurt, which Leon Kahn reminded me of. I thank him. Of V'tov Be'enecha. We'll go with a special tune on no tachanun days in Breuers. V'tov Be'enecha, something like the Tavarech, Samecha, Yisrael, Chaleis Kol Shoah B'Shlomecha. That's if Cantor Beer pointed out the Haftar trap. Da-da-da-da-da. And then it ends, V'chato Hashem, Samo Yisrael, Ba-Shalom. On a plain weekday, it just goes straight. You know, like any other Baruch. Samo Yisrael, Ba-Shalom. Tachanun, which is said sitting down, by the, including the Chazan. Shomer Yisrael is done aloud. Some theorize Shomer Yisrael is done aloud. Why? Because if you look at the older German Sidurim, it says that the most general minhag in Germany was that Shomer Yisrael was only recited on fast days. Only Yesh Mekomos that it was recited daily. But when does Lubavitch say Shomer Yisrael? Only Monday and Thursday. You see? So there, When? Except, what does he say it ever? On fast days. Ah, see? They say in Frankfurt, they did not start saying it daily till World War I, and they've continued. So it's no wonder that Shomer Yisrael is said with a nigun, four sentences to three shomers, and Misratze Barachamim, that the congregation responds. Why? Because it was for special occasions only, so it would lead to a nigun. By the way, in on a regular weekday, something like this, Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Homo Shema Yisrael, and the Chazan actually leaves it from his seat. The Avinu Malkeinu is said quietly because Ein Bonu Masim, how can we say it out loud? But when it comes to certain occasions, I don't know if Royers does this today, they might, and whether, I think in the 3 weeks, they may go into a Kinos, Shomer Yisrael, Shema Shem Yisrael, Ve'al Yovad Yisrael, Omrim Shema Yisrael. Hashem Elokei Yisrael for Monday and Thursdays is also done responsively with the Chazan saying out loud all the Hashem Elokeis and the two little psukim that precede most of the Hashem Elokeis. Normally it's done in a straight major. But during the 3 weeks, it's Eichot Rab. Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Shuv Recharon Apecho. Think of the meaning. By the way, I lighted over it. It's a lack of time, but many parts of the davening in the Breuer tradition, and the 3 weeks are done with a quasi-Eicha tune. For example, the Shemona Esrei, first and foremost, but not exclusively, the Shalaim Ircha, although they do that with, I think it's a tune for the Pizmon of Shei Nezar or something for Shivas Batamos. I forget how it exactly works out, because in Cincinnati, they have the companion minhag to do with the Shalaim Ircha only in the 9 days with the Eicha tune. In the 3 weeks in Cincinnati, they only make a little mention by doing the Siyum Abrocha with Eicha. So in the Cincinnati minhag of the congregation, which still maintains its morning minhag, in the 3 weeks ago, but comes to the 9 days, the whole thing will be. And again, in the Breuer tradition, they do some kind of a other nigun sheinesar the whole 3 weeks, and it ends with the nigun eicha. The interesting thing, what makes it so beautiful and so powerful, Tisha B'Av morning, in the German tradition, all the regular musical scholars fall out. No trup is done by Kriyas HaTorah. Haftorah, the body of it is done with the Eicha trup, but are there any Pesukei Nechama where that's not appropriate? They're just said trupless. And the brachas before and after, without any trup. So you have in the morning a very, like a M-O-U-R-N morning tune for the whole Shemona Esrei, including Bonei Yerushalayim, where there's piyut being recited in most of those brachos, comes Tisha B'Av afternoon. Your lighting is back to the regular weekday level. I think in New Hope they even put on special lights. We have a light of the indicator lights to tell whether there's no tachanun, no lamnatzeach, which they have in Frankfurt and Breuer's, whereas in the New Hope there was one set of lights that was for all the special days. They were put on Tisha B'Av afternoon. Paroch is completely replaced. And the Chazan wears his talus again, as he always would, other than on Tisha B'Av. And all Nigunim are restored. In the German congregation, everybody who gets an Aliyah always gets a Misha Berach. The only exception is Tisha B'Av morning. So they're medagdek in the German tradition, Tisha B'Av afternoon. The same people who were called up in the morning are given aliyahs again. They say the Birchas HaTorah with a normal nigun, rather than just the yigun yalala. The trup is done by the chaychal, and the regular trup for the haftorah. And then comes the chazoras hashatz. And of course, nachem is put in. And after, for 3 weeks, hearing Bonei Yerushalayim, and you hear Menachem Tzion uBnei Yerushalayim on the high tonic B'Simcha. It's the Chama. And to daven Tisha B'Av, to be in a German congregation, you feel it, but it's all unit. You don't feel it completely unless you have Mincha to go to counteract the atmosphere that you had at night and in the day. I basically have to stop now. There's a lot more that can be said. Shabbos Yontif, I would say in general, the Shabbosim in a German congregation are much closer to what they are generally in terms of the style and musical rendition, whereas Yom Tovim are very, very different. V'al Kulam, Yom Naroim. It's impossible to have a semi-German minhag on Yom Naroim. Should try to compromise, it may work during the year. Comes to Yom Yom, you have to make choices. I'm told that's one of the things that could be wrong for those who know what happened in Baltimore to the German congregation, that in Yom Naroim, the German Nisuch was so foreign to many of the newcomers, they had to have an auxiliary minhag, or auxiliary minion rather, in another room with the more usual Litvish minhagim, whereas main shul stayed German, and there were less and less people who were interested in the main shul, and that's one of the things that led to a change of minhag in Baltimore in that congregation, so I understand. I have finished, I have about 5 minutes if anybody wants to make any questions or comments. Yes? Different one. Once say also in this group, I was here many decades ago at a convention at the Pine View, that you also had special lights for Yontif in your shul. I remember you saying it. Yeah. During Yom Naroim, there were also one, the same lights? The other question here, this is one of my pet peeves. Today, with the Haredis, one of the yeshivas, the minhag of a white yarmulke seems to be completely gone. Even by the Rabbanim, Chazonim, did they wear white cover? I don't know, white on the head. And the Balabatim, with the Kittel Yom Kippur, did they wear a white yarmulke? Some did. All year, Shabbos, so it wasn't, I see.